Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Handley here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Jill Jelinek from Fox 17 here in Nashville. Jill, what's going on? How are you?
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Friday and happy first Friday of high school football. Let's go. Let's get in.
Yeah. Looking forward to that. Tell us about what you're going to be doing for some high school football coverage on Fox 17.
What are we going to be doing? What are we not going to be doing on Friday nights at 9:30? It's called The Frenzy, Football Frenzy Live. Every Friday for the next 15 weeks, Fox 17 is going to bring you in-depth coverage from basically 9, 10 games every Friday, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. We'll have game highlights. We'll have post-game interviews with coaches, basically scores running throughout our show in that 30 minutes. So if it breathes high school football, it will be in our show. I can promise you that. So there you go. But yeah, that will be my Friday really night moving forward.
No question. Really, really looking forward to that. High school football season. Fun times around these parts, so looking forward to that. So, Jill, what has stood out to you on the field for the Titans against the Bucs the last couple of days, and what have kind of been your takeaways from Titans and their joint practices with Tampa Bay?
Yeah, you know, it's been – I think it's just been really fun from our perspective because we do get to see these guys in a different light. Finally, just like all these players have said after practice, it really makes a difference when you're going up against a different opponent, especially in practice. I think it's just brought more light to the one-on-ones, the seven-on-sevens, and then obviously the team periods. But I think what we've seen is some guys starting to separate themselves because they're not going up against the Titan, their own Titans defense, which has been so good this training camp. From the wide receiver room, I'll start with Kyle Phillips, man. He's just a jackrabbit, and even head coach Mike Vrabel had the line of the week yesterday. He said, Kyle Phillips goes rabbit hunting with a hammer. And
my favorite line of all time.
was that not the line of the week? Maybe even the line of training camp. But it's true. He's so good in that slot. He was making Bucs defenders miss all over the place. He had one guy kind of stumble on the ground. I mean, he stood out to me the last 2 days. And I think, again, to your question, what have we seen? We've seen guys separate themselves. I also want to throw in Dontrell Hilliard. He had a fantastic 2 days of joint practices. I think yesterday he had like three touchdowns, a two in the 7-on-7. But he looked really good yesterday, which, you know, we saw what he can do last year. But I think this week especially, we've seen him kind of separate more. And then I think what's also been really interesting is that cornerback room on the other side of the ball, those cornerbacks, some of those players going up against those Bucs wide receivers, including, you know, former Titan Julio Jones, Caleb Farley, who had a so-so day Wednesday, thought he did fantastic yesterday, had an interception, back right corner of the end zone, two-minute drill. With the Bucs on offense, I thought he looked fantastic. Also, Roger McCreary, I think you got to give that rookie some credit. He's definitely challenging those other cornerbacks in that secondary. So I'm excited to kind of see more of him, hopefully more of him tomorrow night in the preseason game.
Yeah, I'm with you on all that, Jill. I think those guys stood out. Really good position battle, I think, brewing at corner. Let me ask you about a more established player. And correct me, so am I correct? Last camp was your first camp, right, covering the Titans?
Yes.
Is that
yes,
right?
That's
yeah.
correct.
Mm-hmm. So you've seen – so you saw Tannehill last camp, and obviously we saw his last season, and then we're watching him now. From your perspective, those two camps, do you see a very different player? And just in general, what have you thought about him, his play, and, you know, his interactions with us and his interactions with his teammates?
Have I seen a huge difference from last camp from Tannehill? No. Nothing that has been a sharp contrast or that has really stood out. To me, I think he's had a good camp. I think yesterday he looked even better than on Wednesday. Wednesday he had one interception, yesterday, he looked really good. I think he had a little over 20 passes, 17, 18 completions, and 7-on-7 in team periods. He looks poised. He looks like a quarterback that is not that did not just end the season with a rocky finish. That's what he looks like to me. And I think that whole storyline of Tannehill and trying to mentally get back and kind of erase what happened at the end of last season, that whole storyline in the spring, I've completely forgot about it. This to me seems like a different Tannehill than when he first came in the off season. That's maybe the difference I see. He just seems to me like a leader, leading a little bit more maybe than last year. But not a huge difference. This is a guy that's hungry. This is a guy that's hungry. He's not making mistakes. He's a veteran. He's leading. He's trying to bring these rookies up to speed. And I think that's been maybe what I've seen the most from him specifically in terms of what has stood out. He's really trying hard to bring that wide receiver room along, get all those guys up to speed, not just the rookies, Austin Hooper. How many times have we seen Austin Hooper and Ryan Tannehill get extra reps in after practice? I feel like I haven't seen a single practice where they haven't been getting in some extra one-on-one, just the two of them. So that is what I've noticed a little bit differently than last year. I didn't see him getting extra reps with A.J. Brown last year. Didn't see him, you know, do too much one-on-one with the wide receivers, but that's also because he has a brand new room with Robert Woods, Austin Hooper, and a whole plethora of talent in that wide receiver room.
Jill Jelinek for Fox 17 on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So Jill, as you look at this group, I think it's an encouraging couple of days overall for the Titans against Tampa Bay. What are maybe one or two areas of concern that you have with this Titans team now as they head into the preseason game number two coming up tomorrow?
The concern comes from a little bit of that unknown and the question marks that come from the offensive line. We've talked about this all off season, right? We knew this was going to be two big question marks on that O-line at left guard and right tackle. And I think coming into training camp, the Titans were leaning on, it seemed like they were kind of favoriting Aaron Brewer at that left guard position and Dylan Raidens at that right tackle position. Both of them on the team last year, but not starters. I've loved what I've seen from Aaron Brewer. I feel like Vrabel has also had some great quotes about him. I think something about a $2 steak, tougher than a $2 steak. But I think in terms of how are they going to fit when you have Derrick Henry in there. We haven't seen Derrick Henry do any sort of team period drills since the pads came on at training camp. Am I concerned about Derrick Henry? No. But is there maybe some concern for how the offensive line will mesh as a whole when we have all the pieces together and it is the regular season and now we have the starters in? I think that's maybe my biggest area of concern. But again, only because we're just not quite sure who's going in right now. And also Nate Davis has been kind of sidelined this last week. So with him, that right guard spot, I think Jordan Ruth has been stepping up there for him. Just a couple, pieces that are being plugged in with the Titans this camp. And again, this is what the joint practices are for. Plug him in, get guys different reps. Also the rookie Nicholas Petit-Frere, he had first team reps yesterday. Dylan Raidens had him on Wednesday. They plugged in NPF there yesterday. He looked really good. So not a huge concern, guys, but just something that I think until the season starts, we're not going to know for sure how that unit is going to go.
Now I'm trying to imagine, is there some Vrabel saying where you're hitting a $2 steak with a hammer? I mean, there's so many combinations you can do with this. Yeah, Vrabel's been pretty good, right? Like, he's kind of, like, for Vrabel, not
media
bad.
Darling.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, Jill, if there's one thing that you're most excited about tomorrow night in this game, like, you're like, this is the one thing I'm really focused on watching that could have some consequence come the season, what is it?
It's got to be Malik Willis. It's got to be Malik Willis, especially because of his preseason debut last Thursday. even though it was a slow start for him, I thought overall he did very well in that first preseason game. And I think the biggest thing I'm looking for is, okay, Coach Vrabel and his coaching staff, they gave him a lot of feedback, a lot of, not criticism, but, you know, a lot to work with this last week. And with throwing the joint practices against the Bucks, against another defense, Malik Willis has had a lot of opportunity to grow from that first preseason game. So I'm very excited to hopefully see that growth and all that knowledge, feedback, practice transfer to the game tomorrow night. I want to specifically see how quickly can he transition what he learned, making those mistakes. Okay, now let me correct those and transfer them in a game day situation. Vrabel said he doesn't know who's going to get the start tomorrow night. I would bet it's Malik Willis. Vrabel already admitted that Logan Woodside, backup quarterback, is getting his rep decreased just because Vrabel said he wants to see Malik get more. They want to throw him in that offense and get him coming along in the offense quicker. So I'm really excited to see him tomorrow night, whether he starts, whether he doesn't. We're obviously anticipating Malik Willis playing a lot, and I just really want to see him take a step up from that preseason debut last week.
Jill Jelinek from Fox 17, our guest here on Robbie and Rick's Row. Jill, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, and looking forward to your high school football coverage tonight as well.
A lot of football this time of year, my friends. This is a fun time of the year. Thank you so much for having me, and have a fantastic Friday, y'all.
Hey, Jill. Hey, no bias here, but don't skimp on the Nolensville Knights highlight. Friday is for Knights, Jill. Friday is for Knights. I'm just saying.
Oh, boy.
I got you.
Not biased.
Not biased at all.
Jill, like our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I've been telling y'all about Souls Free Music City for a few weeks here. School's coming back in session. I think most people are back in there by now, and we've seen a lot of people text in and donate, and we're still seeking help for children in our area that are experiencing homelessness. There's one thing we can do, and a $20 donation is all we're asking for, to put a new pair of athletic shoes on the feet of a homeless child in Middle Tennessee. All you got to do, text the word donate to 615-737-1025. Once again, that's donate to 615-737-1025 and help make a difference in the life of a single child. Once again, donate to 615-737-1025. Thanks so much for your consideration on that. Thanks to Jill Jelinek for joining us in the last segment as well. Joe, it's interesting, as you look at this Titans camp, you know, there's been a rookie that has specifically stood out to you a lot as of late. And I feel like when you're a rookie and you can put together, you know, multiple days in a row of consistently good performance, that's a very good thing. And Kyle Phillips seems to have really kind of found a foothold in his offense right now for the Titans.
Yeah, and he's got Vrabel busting out brand new analogies. That's how good he's been. Yeah. What I'm interested with Kyle Phillips is he doing so well that we actually won't see much of this tomorrow night? Because I could see him getting out there and, you know, and getting some opportunities and making some plays. He had one target, no catches in the preseason opener. But at the same time, I could also see Vrabel being like, you know what? Yeah, how about you come on over here? Let's let Mason Kinsey get more work, et cetera, et cetera. By the way, I will say this, and I've poo-pooed, you know, Mason Kinsey. I don't think he's making the team. Mason Kinsey's been really good, and he really has been. He is better than a year ago. He gives people problems too. Like, it's overshadowed by what Phillips is doing, and Phillips is ahead of him, and Phillips is going to make the team and be part of this offense. But I'm just telling you, you know, Mason Kinsey, I think Mason Kinsey somewhere in this league could make some plays for somebody.
They're keeping both of them, huh? Kyle Phillips, Mason Kinsey, joint package?
If you want to do the triple threat backfield and have Malik Willis with those two in the backfield, like imagine the possibilities.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, he's been very good. Kyle Phillips has been tremendous for a while now. I thought early in camp, he wasn't making a lot of impact. That's not always because he's not running good routes, but I think some of what we're seeing is that Tannehill and Phillips are building chemistry. And here's the thing. Talk about Phillips last week, one target, no catches. I mean, Phillips is way better when Ryan Tannehill is throwing the ball to him. Tannehill sees things, sees the field, gets the ball out quickly, and he wins at the line. So, with Willis, obviously, the biggest thing for him right now is, you got to start passing the ball quickly. You got to start seeing it, hitting it, go. And then Woodside just struggled in the last game. So, I don't know with those two guys quarterback in the next two preseason games, but we're going to see a ton from Kyle Phillips. And like I just said, he may not even play. But this is one of those trust me fans. Kyle Phillips is going to be a factor for the Titans offense. And I like the pick a lot at this point based on what we're seeing in camp.
Go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam from Portland. Adam, what's going on, man? How we doing?
What's up, buddy? Hey, so it doesn't really matter, though, what Kyle Phillips does if the line sucks, man. I feel like we can't judge any of these dudes. It's just like our corners. You guys are talking so much about Farley and Roger McCreary, and it's just – but. If our pass rush doesn't hold up the way they did last year, those guys are going to struggle, right? So I'm still kind of disappointed that right tackle, but there's just a couple of spots that are so unsure on that line. I will say you guys are absolutely right. Tannehill plays well when he has a guy that can get open 10 yards away from him. So, and that's all I'm seeing on those Phillips tapes is he breaks somebody's ankles and he's just right there at the line, throwing the ball. And if our line sucks, I guess it would be good to have that. But I'm just worried about that line, man. That's all I can think about.
Hey, thanks for the call, Adam. I mean, to that point, I hear what Adam's saying there. But I think for a guy like Kyle Phillips, that's what makes that valuable to me is if you can get open quickly and Tannehill's got an outlet in the middle of the field, that's something they really didn't have last year.
I agree. And – yeah, that's the thing. That's how you neutralize it. If you aren't – look, you're not going to be a great football team if you can't set up seven-step drop and allow things to unfold downfield at some point.
No question.
So it's a totally valid concern, but that is – Kyle Phillips helps neutralize that a little bit, offset that a little bit. Austin Hooper, I think, also. Austin Hooper is – I mean, he's not Travis Kelce, okay? This pops into my head, and I'm about to say a name, and it's like, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it. Oh, it just came out of my mouth. But I'll say this about Austin Hooper. He is really crafty and he's just like man zone, because that's what you have to do, right? You have to – I mean, you're adjusting what you're doing based on what you see with the coverage, and then are you finding those spots? I believe that Austin Hooper is really good at that. And I think that he and Tannehill have a connection. So now you have him, you have Phillips, and we've talked about Dontrell Hilliard also as an outlet who can turn a little swing pass into, a chunk play, or who's really good at running those little choice routes. Those are all things that help you if you don't have the offensive line play you need. Please erase that whole segment where I compared Austin Hooper to Travis Kelce.
Thank you. Please. Just the Titans going to be in good shape out there at tight end this year, baby. Austin Hooper, a.k.a. Travis Kelce, out there catching the ball. It's good stuff.
And you know who's going to take that. And then
2 o'clock, baby.
There's going to be a segment now about how I made that comparison. I'm making the comparison strictly in in recognition and finding, especially against zone looks, finding that hole, settling in. I think he's going to have a good year. But I hear you. And also, Adam, on his point on corners, speaking of 2 o'clock, let's not get into, corner doesn't matter territory, okay? I mean, I hear you. Yes, like the pass rush is huge, and if you have it, the corner's going to be better, and if you don't, they're going to get hung out to dry and eventually get beat, but it doesn't mean corner play isn't important. I mean, look, you got to cover people, and there's, you know, like, go back to, you want to just put J-Jo out there? You know, I mean, like, it matters.
Look, there's a lot of things in football that work in tandem together, perhaps nothing more so than pass rush and corners. It's not just pass rush getting to the quarterback. It's also corners covering long enough for the pass rush to get to the quarterback. Like, it's – those are two things that go together.
Yeah, like Farley's physicality and length, McCreary's just stick-to-itiveness. Again, earlier on the show, I compared him to one of those pesky point guards that you just can't shake, and they're just in your face the whole time. That stuff, that can matter. And huge plays in a football game. So don't think it can't.
Joe, real quickly, as we've been talking about the receivers, there's one thing that's pretty incredible to me, and this happens in training camp. But we spent so much time talking about Treylon Burks and Kyle Phillips and Racy McMath, all these different guys. The two guys that are probably going to play the most are Robert Woods and Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, and I feel like we never talk about those two. What have you seen from those two thus far in camp?
You're right, and look, I hate to say this. I do. I hate to say this because NWI has been awesome. He's been awesome. He was awesome this week. Catching everything, getting open, yards after the catch. I don't know what it's going to mean. That guy has gotten better. They love him, and he's starting. Week one, he's starting, okay? It's Robert Woods. It's Westbrook-Ikhina. Week one, Robert Woods and Westbrook-Ikhina are going to dominate the snaps at wide receiver. Put it right down. I mean, it's a called shot. Add it to my called shots. It will be those two, because I do think that the Titans are going to play a pretty good chunk of two tight end, and it will be those two bread and butter in this offense. And Woods has been very good too. I don't know that either is anything more than like a really good possession receiver in the NFL. And that's where you get to the concern again of like you lose AJ Brown, and what does that mean big picture to your offense? But for what they are, first of all, Westbrook-Ikhina is well beyond what anyone could have expected for him. He's gonna have a good year. And I like Woods a lot too. You're right. We don't talk about him. We're not gonna see him Saturday. They are at the least going to be solid and reliable players, and they both have good chemistry with Tannehill.
Our Titans training camp coverage presented by Parman Energy, your one-stop petroleum solution. Coming up next, a big announcement yesterday for our city. We'll get to that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Nashville's best deal of the week is Old School Pizza in Brentwood. Old School Pizza was voted number 3 best new restaurant in Nashville and offers pizza and other Italian specialties. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals now to get a $30 gift card for only $15 to Old School Pizza while supplies last. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you. Joe, a big day yesterday for the city of Nashville. It was announced that the Nashville Predators will be hosting the 2023 NHL Draft and the 2023 NHL Awards as well. Now, the awards, they'll be really cool. It's more of a TV thing, though. The draft itself, I think, is going to be really awesome here. Now, you know, everybody, a lot of people that have moved here in the last 20 years, obviously, were not around for the 2003 draft. First off, the city is almost completely different now than it was back then. But people were raving back then at how good of a job Nashville did of putting on the draft. I think the draft has grown itself since then. It's never going to be the NFL draft and the scenes of what we saw out there a few years ago in 2019 here in Nashville, but it's a pretty big deal to get the draft here. It's another big event for the Predators with the NHL, and it kind of feels like Nashville is on the short list when it comes to hosting
big time NHL events. I've talked to some people, and there's a rotation that you try to go through, and you try to spread different things out, you know, to as many different markets as you can. But I can tell you, people still to this day are comparing every All-Star game to the one here in Nashville, and it's not going to be that long before it's back here.
So can Nashville, can the Preds in tandem, can they make this draft like an NFL draft? Like what's the ceiling? Because there are people, I mean, there are fans of these teams all over the world who do come to this, I feel like, more and more. At least that's what I'm hearing.
For sure. Like, yeah, like
what's the best possible scenario for this thing? Can this be NFL draft
like? I don't know. Like I think there are certain elements of it that you can make it that way. I mean, the problem is, number one, the NFL is kind of on its own tier when it comes to that thing. And number two, the large majority of the people that are going to be drafted are not helping your team out immediately. So that's what makes the NFL draft and the NBA draft, I guess, to a certain degree, different, because you're drafting people that you hope help you immediately. Like, it's next year's draft is supposed to be a really good one. So there should be a lot of talent up and down the board. But, you know, I just wonder if, like, people here in Nashville, how much do you – like, how bought in are you to attending the NHL draft? Like, the Predators, I think, are going to be pretty good this year. Now, are they going to be a cup contender? I don't know about that. We'll have to wait and see what happens there. But my guess is, if the season goes to plan and they stay relatively healthy, they're probably going to be drafting somewhere in the second half of the first round, would be my guess. So I think Predators fans, though, I think they'll show up to this. I think it'll be really cool, especially, you know, the first round part of it. And then day two kind of is just rapid fire. But I'm really interested to see what sort of events that the Predators put on around this thing to spice it up, because I think they will.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think this is a place where you're going to maximize the potential for something like that. And to your point on the All-Star game coming here, I think it was a year before I got here, and I remember all the commotion over that. Of course, that was during a time of transition for the All-Star game too, formatting and all that stuff. But
it was the first year of the new format. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, you know, that to me is, I mean, all these things to me should be a no-brainer. This is the type of stuff, not SEC Media Days, get that out of here. Give that to places that could actually, that it won't get lost in. But something like this, I feel like, can actually enhance what it is. And I feel like all these leagues, you got to look, you're not going to, like, the NFL is just on its own plane in terms of not just these events, but also just in terms of dominating a news cycle. Like, you know, but I feel like all these leagues need to think in terms of off season, making bigger splashes and getting people engaged. Fans in college sports, pro sports are obsessed with what's coming in the future. Right. Yep. And like you said, it is different unless you're, you know, if you're, you know, top of the draft and you got McDavid or Crosby coming or whatever, okay, then there's going to be absolute frenzy. A lot of these guys, you know, it's going to be a little bit of time, but still, I feel like there's more coverage of prospects. I think there's a lot more information out there than even just a few years ago. And you got to take advantage of those things if you're the NHL.
I will say, it's timing wise, it's pretty good for the Predators from the standpoint of Connor Bedard is probably the top prospect heading into next year for the draft. And I don't know if he's quite Connor McDavid level, but he's probably the closest thing since Connor McDavid that has been at the top of that level. So it's a pretty good year timing-wise. And who knows, Joe, could be a ton of Blackhawks fans walking around here, because I think they're going to suck pretty hard this year, and they might have a chance. Well, they may win the draft lottery. We'll see. That I don't think the Predators are going to be at the top of the draft.
That's a good point.
Which, well, it's not where they want to be.
Yeah. They could be at the bottom of the draft. Well, they're at the bottom of the draft. Well, post parade. They actually, there's a, you know, that's a scenario where you can actually drain Broadway of all its beer if you get to the end of the, yeah.
That has happened before.
But that's a good point. Chicago fans, who of course have overtaken these streets before in their little jerseys, they could be be the first time they could put on their jersey with pride, if they can find it, of course. You know, it's like they went about 15 years without even having any Blackhawks paraphernalia, then bought a bunch when Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews came of age. And yeah, we know the story.
I will say the path to the Predators in the Western Conference got a little bit more difficult yesterday. Nazem Kadri finally, like 2 months after free agency begins, signed with the team yesterday. So 7 years, $7 million per year for Kadri with the Flames. Look, I applaud Calgary for what they've done. And you lost Tkachuk and Gaudreau, and I think you've salvaged that situation to where you're probably going to be pretty good again next year. It still baffles me that at the age of 31 years old, Nazem Kadri, who will be 32 by the time the season begins, got a 7-year contract. Like, I can't believe somebody gave him a 7-year deal. So good for him for waiting it out, but my goodness.
Calgary's like, well, let's see. We have the best line in hockey, and then it's like we lost the best line in hockey. But by golly, we are going all in even after the best line in hockey leaves Calgary. It's pretty wild. How much were we talking when the Tkachuk stuff was going on about, oh, God, that rebuild up there. Yeah. They're just looking for picks and prospects. But no, 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 my friend. They are all in. Yeah, that is a back end of that deal. That's going to be interesting. Interesting. Not great for Calgary. But he had a heck of a year last year. So I'm interested to watch him next season.
So I've never been to an NHL draft before, which is kind of kind of amazing. I can't believe I haven't made it to one yet. I'm pretty excited about this. I do wonder, like, your hockey fans in this city, how much does the draft move the needle? And as Ray from Hendersonville points out, Connor Bedard played in Major Junior at 16. He's the next superstar on the level of McDavid Crosby. He's pretty good. I don't know if he's quite going to be McDavid, but he's pretty good.
There have been at other times in you know, over the years, like at this time of year, talk of that with someone, right?
Yeah.
And it turns out to be, I mean, Lafreniere, although yeah. I call him Lafreniere, you know, remember when the Preds had a chance with the COVID rules? You know, there were some people at one point that were, and he's very good, but that's this hard kid's to reach that level. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, from the Preds fan side, obviously the best case scenario is that you're low as possible in this draft because you had a great year and there's more excitement about the team in general. But I'll just be interested, no matter what happens next season, I'll be interested in just the turnout of Preds fans in particular.
Yeah, I will be too. It's going to be interesting, but a big deal for the city. And again, like the more events you could get like this, I think the better off you're going to be. And this city has done an outstanding job. The Predators specifically have done an outstanding job of putting on events. And I don't expect this one to be any different. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll look at Joe Rexroad's favorite part of this week, the preseason game coming up tomorrow between Tampa Bay and the Tennessee Titans. What are a few things that Joe Rexroad will be looking for in said preseason game? We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Row, 1025, 1063, the game. Looking ahead to the second preseason game coming up tomorrow night between the Titans and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Jim Wyatt, as we speak, have just come out with six things to watch for in the preseason game on the Titans website. Joe Rexroad, have you come up with six things that you're looking forward to seeing tomorrow night in the game for the Titans against Tampa Bay?
As long as two of them include my discipline at the media buffet, then yes.
Okay. That's good.
You know, Joe, I will be there to keep an eye on you.
Okay. And call me out on the crouton usage because obviously I got to hit the salad bar. But, you know, you got to avoid the croutons, man. Got to avoid the croutons.
I mean, this conversation has to basically – I don't know if it begins and ends, but it certainly begins with Malik Willis tomorrow, does it not, in terms of what you're looking for?
Yeah, and – that tells you where we are because, again, it's the backup quarterback. And actually, it's the number three quarterback. You know, yeah. But yeah, you're still – your big picture, you're thinking future. You're if you're a Titans fan, you're hoping that he takes another step, that he makes some – I mean, look, it's his first chance to play in front of the home fans. And it's interesting, this preseason, the Titans didn't do a Centennial game. Like, they usually have a game out at Centennial High, or usually, I think it's Centennial, or, you know, local high school. And they didn't do a practice at Nissan. Unfortunately, we did not get a Vrabel punting practice at Nissan. We'll never let them hear the end of that one. But this is the first chance for Titans fans, other than the small group, you know, who have been out to camp at some days, to see him play. So that's kind of exciting. It'll be interesting to see what the crowd looks like and how that is for him. It's a big deal for him. It doesn't translate to the field this year, but it's a big deal. And for me, it's like, I look at him and I just think he's just afraid to make the mistake a little bit too much, and that you got to trust it and let it rip. And he can, because when he lets it rip and sees something, lets it rip, which usually happens late in a play after he's broken the pocket and someone's down there, and they're like, boom. I mean, he can get that ball. He can fit it in like not many guys can. So, yeah, you start with him. And then if you see some Phillips, you see some Burks. I have my doubts about Burks playing, considering he got a little bit banged up.
Yeah,
the right tackle battle is certainly ongoing. Will Vrabel go out again with Farley and those guys? I mean, this is technically the dress rehearsal game. So is this the game he's looking at for a little bit more with some of those starters on defense? I think it would basically just be Farley, Fulton, McCreary. We'll see if Molden can play. Probably just the corners. Probably everybody else is sitting. See some guys up front. You mentioned Rashad Weaver getting a couple sacks. I think you'll see there's a guy who can matter this year, who can play. You're going to see Aaron Brewer out there, I think. You probably won't see Lawan, Ben Jones, or Nate Davis.
Let me ask you this. So are you going to put a ton of stock into who is starting this game at right tackle, given the fact that we've kind of seen that alternate a little bit over the last couple of weeks of camp? Do you put any stock into who's starting the game tomorrow? And, I mean, I guess there's a chance they could both be starting like they did last week, just in different spots.
Yeah, I don't know. Not necessarily. I think the big thing with that, it's almost like Willis and Woodside. If you get to the point where in these next two preseason games, one of them is playing way more than the other, then I think the other one is probably the starter. But I don't think that's going to be the case. I think they're close. I still would say that Raiden's has the edge right now based on what I'm seeing. But it's interesting. I'm looking at running back one tomorrow. I'm willing to put myself out there and be Mekhi Sargented.
Besides Derrick Henry, here comes Julius Chestnut.
I think TD brought up, like, you can't put the ball on the floor or on the ground. You can't do it. And that's too bad for him that happened in the game last week. But I don't know. It's worth checking out. Worth checking out there. And then punting. Punting. Who's punting? How are they punting? Who's holding? TD didn't seem too, into the idea of that being a real thing. I don't know, man. If you believe that guy is a difference maker at that position, because you don't, it's not like you can just grab one every year. I'm very intrigued. The amount of holding he's done is interesting.
What would you put the percentage chance that he wins the job at right now? Ryan Stonehouse taking down Brett Kern.
I'm 60-40 Kern.
60-40 Kern.
I bet you, I don't know.
That's pretty close.
Yeah. It would have been, again, before that started happening, again, credit to Teresa Walker for first time that I saw anybody, you know, noticing that and noticing John Robinson's very keen attention to that. That changed me because you've got to work on your operation right now. Randy Bullock isn't in a competition, but Randy Bullock has got to get ready for the season, and you want him to kick well. And Randy Bullock kicking well is snapping, holding, kicking. And if you're spending some of that practice time with someone else holding, why would you do that if you're not considering it?
For sure. I mean, I think it absolutely means something. I think the question at the end of the day is going to be, you know, Stonehouse, I think it's fair to say, has a stronger leg than Brett Kern does. Yep. Now, the directional punting and the ability to put the ball in a certain spot is what – it's really what's made Kern so good for so long. I'm not saying he couldn't boom some, because he could. But what's made Brett Kern really good is his ability to put the ball exactly where you need him to put it. So how effective can Stonehouse be in something like that? Because, look, whether it's now or next year or certainly in a couple of years, you know, the time for Brett Kern being done in Nashville is it's coming up relatively soon. He just took a pay cut this year too. So I think it's coming. I just think the competition is probably going to come down to weighing the pros and cons of, number one, Kern's experience. Number two, his ability to, you know, directionally punt and put the ball where they need it to. And how does that balance out against Stonehouse and this monster leg that he brings to the table?
Exactly. No, you nail it. And that's why I'm still 64 on Kern, because it's like I think Stonehouse, he's going to have to really perform. You know, and the thing is that then it's like if he does perform, but you're still like, gosh, Kern is still the better option this year. Is a big year. You want to be as good as possible. You expose Stonehouse and he kicks and he punts really well in these two preseason games, then I think you're probably going to lose him. And it's not like, you know, it's not like I feel like 10 years down the road, the Titans, we're so many talking about how the Titans are rue the day they let Ryan Stonehouse go. He's not the punt god, okay? But if he can boom it. There is no doubt about that.
Hey, people are still talking about, you know, ruining the day that they let Ryan Succop walk out the door. Even though Randy, we hadn't talked about him a lot, which is a good thing in training camp, seems to be kicking the ball pretty well.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, in fact, I think he was better than Succop this year. But, of course, Succop has a ring on his finger and was a big part of that. So I feel like people are just more likely to, you know, punters just don't get enough love, man. We need more punter awareness. It's the most important play in football. And people talk about place kickers all the time, and I understand they actually put points on the board. But, man, punters are hugely important in this game of football.
I'll tell you the one thing under the radar that I'm going to be looking for in this game is safety. Like, is there anybody, when you start getting past Hooker and Byard, who I don't think will play, does anybody stand out at safety? Because they're going to need to get that part of it figured out. You know, I had high hopes for Theo Jackson, but obviously being hurt does not help it from that standpoint. So you go out, you make some moves this week. I mean, you brought in Gillespie from the Raiders. Can somebody maybe separate themselves in the safety depth competition here?
That is a great call, no doubt. Now they've got some new guys in there. I think A.J. Moore is entrenched, but he'll probably play a lot, so it's a chance to watch him. That's a guy who I think will – matter this year, but maybe there's more depth or even competition after the two starters that emerges here from here.
Looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun night tomorrow night. Joe Rexroad is just teeming with anticipation for the Titans and the Bucks coming up tomorrow night at Nissan Stadium.
I'm a Twitter with excitement. Hey, real quick, Paul and the Texan, I got to give a shout out to Paul and the Texan, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. Because his called shot is that Michelle will never be able to pronounce the second T in Titans.
Oh, my God, guys. I know.
Give us a Titans. Give us a Titans.
No.
Oh, boy.
That Tennessee Titans team.
No.
That's so bad.
There it is. Nailed Titans. It.
It's so weird because, like, we say, like, again, we don't say Titans. We just say Titans. Titans. Like, you don't actually hit the T, but somehow there's a difference.
Okay, these we get it, markers. Joe.
We're gonna explore this way more next week, okay? Yes, let's promise each other.
That does it for us today. We'll be back 6 a.m. on Monday. Hope everybody has a good weekend. Chase Willie and D-Mace up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.